Accession number 16339, Reel 3.
Mr. Benson, Reel 3.
Yes, following the second front, the Russians were advancing west and following this, at the end of the year, we also started to move westwards from the camp.
By foot?
By foot.
What was that trek like?
It compared with Crete, it wasn't too bad. But of course, at this stage, the Red Cross parcels had finished, and we could only rely on the German food. Mm.
Any incidents that happened to you on the track?
Not really. But as a result of being on the march, we lost our radio through a Frenchman who gave us away. He informed the Germans that we had this radio, and they just took it off. So had we known who it was, then that person would have been done in, I would imagine.
Where did you go to?
Well, we then moved into Sudetenland. And moving westward all the time. We'd sleep in these huge barns at night time. And with other people. And all the time, we were moving just ahead of the Russians. And we knew that the war should be over on May the 8th. But for us, it wasn't. We were still in Sudetenland. And on the 8th of May, we were still moving westwards. And the next day, which was the 9th of May, my birthday again, we entered a town called Teschen. And it was still burning from the day before, where it had been bombed. And it was a bit of a nightmare, because there were quite large holes in the road from the bombing. And it really was a nightmare. And it was then we met up with the Polish troops, who were very good to us. And they found an accommodation for a couple of us, sleeping in a house that night. They moved these Germans out of the house so that we could have a bed to sleep in.
What had happened to your guards?
Oh, they'd gone, all finished. Everybody was moving west to get to the Americans. But the trouble was, the Americans were east, or rather west of the Alps, and we were the wrong side. So from then on, the war was over, But all the POWs were on the loose. And any farmer that had anything edible, then he'd be lucky if he had anything left. The troops, they saw any cattle, they would shoot it. And cook it and eat it, more or less, in the same place. And the only way to move westward was to walk, because everything was smashed up. All the railways were smashed up. The roads had been bombed. There was no transport, no organisation. Everybody was moving west. And so on the 17th and 18th of May, we walked 70 miles in 2 days to get to the Yanks at Pilsen on the Elbe there. And of course, once we got there, we had to put up with being offered a dinner, which we couldn't eat because the stomach shrunk.
Who were you with by now?
We were with the Americans.
No, who did you trek with?
I was with my friend, a fellow Marine, who now resides in Swindon.
Just the two of you?
Just the two of us.
Any adventures on the way?
The first, having walked the first, the end of the first on the 17th, we went to the local burgomaster, who's more or less he's like the local mayor, and we had some bread to eat, and we slept in a school, and the local people, who would be possibly Czechs. I'm talking about the women. They asked us if they could sleep in our place because they're frightened of being raped by the Russians. The German propaganda to the German people, I've seen these propaganda pictures whereby you see a Russian soldier with his fingers dripping with blood standing over a German woman who he's allegedly raped. And therefore, I would say as a result of all this propaganda, a lot of the women were absolutely frightened at their life that they would be raped on site by the Russian troops. And therefore, they asked us if they could sleep with, physically, we couldn't have sex. It's the last thing on our mind. We didn't have enough food to eat for that. And so that was the 17th, the evening of the 17th. And of course, the next day, we arrived with the Americans at Pilsen.
Do you think their fears of ill treatment by the Russians were well-founded or ill-founded?
Generally, ill-founded. I mean, the Germans are terrible people. What the army did, when they take reprisals, they don't mess about. If it's a village misbehaved, they wipe it off the face of the earth, as they did on Crete. There's one village, they moved it entirely because they lost a certain number of their troops in this particular village, and they wiped it off the face of the earth. There was nothing left, and that's how bad they are.
How were you treated by the GIs in Pilsen?
Oh, wonderful. I mean, there we were offered a dinner and a sweet, I ask you. All I could have eaten was a couple of sandwiches, I expect, no more, because your stomach shrinks. and we couldn't eat it.
So what happened to you there?
That was freedom for me, the 18th of May. Then, from the 18th of May, we went by Dakota to Reims. And from Reims, we came across to, I believe it was Blackbush by Lancaster. So on the 23rd, I was home.
Any processing you got in Britain?
No. I went straight to Eastney Barracks. Were given the so-called double rations and sent home without any sort of examination physically or anything. And that was the 23rd, and I was home that evening on the 23rd of May.
How long did it take you to recover from your ordeal?
Well, as far as I know, a few months, I suppose. But I know that was May. Yeah. It took me a good few months because I didn't know what to do myself. And in the end, I mentioned earlier that one of our chaps was badly beaten up in the camp. And it was that man who was my best pal, and he lived in Liverpool. My home was Southampton. I knew he worked for the post office, that's all. So I went to Liverpool, went to the post office, found out where he lived, knocked on his door and said, "I've come up here to stay up for a while."
Was he the one who refused to work?
Yeah, one of the finest chaps I've ever met. Straight as a gun barrel. Really, it's the wrong thing to do. You can't. There's no such thing as principles when you mess about with the Germans, because you pay the penalty if you do.
And did he help you to get settled back into civilian life?
Well, I stayed with him at his home for a few weeks, and we were both in the same boat, of course. I eventually came back to Southampton and didn't know what I was going to do with myself, but I finished up joining the police force.
Was this POW a Marine like yourself?
Yes, he was a Marine. He's a wonderful chap. Yeah.
How do you feel about your war experiences now, looking back on it all?
Well, I think it's an experience. As I see it, it's your duty to do something about it. You've just got to play your part. But I would have volunteered had I not been called up. As far as I'm concerned, sheer fate, just like my father. He was in the First War, and he was the same as me.
He was a POW?
Yes, but only for a little while. I mean, he only...
Do you feel any sense of bitterness towards anybody because of your war experience?
No, I don't. No, I don't feel bitter. After all, the average German person is all right. it's just the bullies that were in power at the time.